don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Crypto Economy Quick Read. What is up, crew? Welcome back to the Crypto Economy Podcast. I have a really good one today. I've been sitting on this one for a bit. Bitcoin Magazine and Aaron Von Wertheim both gave me the go-ahead, but it sounded like Bitcoin Magazine might have been a little bit reluctant just in the wording of his confirmation that I could read this on the podcast. So I wanted to make sure that when I tackled this one, it was no longer a cover story and that it had probably gotten the bulk of its user reads already, and maybe I could drive a little bit more traffic to it, because I don't want to. That's one of the things about this podcast that has always kind of stuck with me and made me uncomfortable, is that I don't want to, I'm using other people's content. You know, this is like Bitcoin Magazine and Aaron Von Wertheim wrote this article, and like, I don't want to be driving people away from them because, oh well, they can just listen to the Crypto Economy Podcast and get all the information anyway. Like Bitcoin Magazine is the content creator here, and I just give my opinion on it, but I also want to make it available in audio to all the people because it's a really good article, and I feel like a lot of people are just going to miss it because we don't all have the time to sit down and read the things. So that's why I think it was published on September 3rd, so I've tried to let it leave the front page and, you know, get down like a lot in the series of stuff the lineup of stuff that they release. So many articles on Bitcoin Magazine that it can easily get lost in the mix. And hopefully I will make sure to drive more people to Bitcoin Magazine and to check out Aaron Von Wertheim, because that's what I want to do. But with that, we will be jumping into Bitcoin Magazine and Aaron Von Wertheim's article, Bitcoin as a Privacy Coin. This tech is making Bitcoin more private. So let's jump in. Ever since its inception, Bitcoin has never really been private. Although Satoshi Nakamoto's white paper suggests privacy was a design goal of the protocol, government agencies, analytics companies, and other interested parties, let's call them spies, have ways to analyze the public blockchain and peer-to-peer network to cluster Bitcoin addresses and tie them to IP addresses or other identifying information. A lack of privacy is a problem. Bitcoin users might not necessarily want the world to know where they spend their money, what they earn, or how much they own, while businesses may not want to leak transaction details to competitors, to name a few examples. Additionally, a lack of privacy could lead to a loss of fungibility, the property by which each monetary unit is worth the same as any other, which is an essential requirement for money. If, for example, it can be established that certain coins were at some point used for politically sensitive purposes, some might be less willing to accept those tainted coins as payment, harming fungibility for all of Bitcoin. Fortunately, spying on Bitcoin users is becoming increasingly difficult. Recent months in particular saw the introduction of a number of promising privacy-enhancing technologies, and several more solutions should be released throughout the rest of the year or the next. Here's an overview of some of the most promising projects. Tumblebit. Almost 2 years in the making, Tumblebit was long among the most highly anticipated privacy solutions to be rolled out on Bitcoin. Tumblebit is a coin mixing protocol that uses a centralized tumbler to create off-chain payment channels between participants in a mixing session. Through these channels, all participants send coins and receive an equal amount of different coins in return. This process breaks the trail of ownership for all. Neither spies nor any of the participants can reestablish who paid who. Further, and importantly, Tumblebit utilizes clever cryptographic tricks to ensure that even the tumbler can't establish a link between the users. Tumblebit does require two on-chain transactions per participant, one to open a channel and one to close it. While a trustless solution, this does make it one with somewhat higher fees than the alternatives. Tumblebit was first proposed in 2016 by an academic research team from Boston University, George Mason University, and North Carolina State University, headed by Ethan Hellman and presented at Scaling Bitcoin Milan in the fall of that year. The ball really got rolling when in-Bitcoin developer Nicolas Dorier implemented an early version of the technology, which was later improved by privacy-focused developer Adam Fisker and others to ultimately be implemented in the Stratus Breeze wallet. This Breeze wallet was officially released about a month ago, meaning that Tumblebit is currently available for anyone to use, though usage and therefore the privacy-providing anonymity set is reportedly still low. ETA, available now. Chaumian CoinJoin and ZeroLink. CoinJoin is an old idea by Bitcoin standards, first proposed by Bitcoin Core contributor Gregory Maxwell in 2013. In essence, the trick is to combine several transactions into one bigger transaction, obfuscating which Bitcoins are moving from which sending addresses, or inputs, to which receiving addresses, or outputs, exactly. As a simple example, let's say Alice, Bob, and Carol all want to mix their coins with each other. Using CoinJoin, they can create a transaction that sends money back to themselves using new addresses not tied to their identity. As long as Alice, Bob, and Carol use equal amounts of coins, spies can't tell which of the new addresses belongs to whom. If they use different amounts of coins, it's obvious which coins moved where. CoinJoin transactions have been a reality for years, but for a long time, one problem remained. Someone, like Alice, Bob, or Carol, needs to construct the transaction. This person must learn exactly which old addresses are sending Bitcoin to which new addresses. Otherwise, it would be impossible to construct the transaction. If this person is a spy, which is often impossible to know, the effort becomes pointless. The spy could reestablish the trail of coin ownership. This problem can also be solved using a trick mentioned by Gregory Maxwell in the same 2013 proposal, dubbed Chaumian CoinJoin, after David Chaum's blind signature scheme. In short, Alice, Bob, and Carol will now connect to a central Chaumian CoinJoin server, perhaps operated by a wallet provider. First, they all give their sending addresses, as well as blinded, or cryptographically scrambled, receiving addresses, which are cryptographically signed by the server. Then, Alice, Bob, and Carol disconnect in order to reconnect via a hidden connection, like Tor, and provide their unblinded addresses. Utilizing the magic of Chaumian blind signatures, the server can verify that the unblinded addresses match with the blinded addresses. This allows it to verify that the addresses really belong to Alice, Bob, and Carol, not to an attacker, without learning which of the addresses belong to whom. The Chaumian CoinJoin proposal fell by the wayside for about 4 years after it was first proposed. Then about a year ago, Adam Fisker, while working on Breeze's Tumblebit implementation, rediscovered the proposal and decided to implement it. Embedded in the ZeroLink framework Fisker has since designed, Chaumian CoinJoin is now implemented in Fisker's new privacy-focused Wasabi wallet, which was recently released in beta. Even more recently, privacy-focused Samurai Wallet announced it will soon release a mobile ZeroLink implementation called Whirlpool. Yet another, newer wallet by the name of Bob Wallet is also developing a ZeroLink implementation. ETA? Available now. Beta. Schnorr signatures for CoinJoin and more. While CoinJoin, including Chaumian CoinJoin, was always possible and first proposed years ago, it's never caught on in a big way so far. For a long time, no popular wallet offered the feature, which may be because CoinJoin transactions add complexity, with little upside for those who don't care about privacy as much. Schnorr signatures, for which Bitcoin Core and Blockstream developer Peter Wella recently presented an official Bitcoin Improvement Proposal, or BIP, could help provide this upside. Named after its inventor, Klaus Peter Schnorr, Schnorr signatures are considered by many cryptographers to be the best type of cryptographic signatures in the field. Perhaps the biggest concrete advantage for Bitcoin is that multiple signatures can be aggregated into a single signature. This means that one signature can prove ownership of multiple sending addresses or inputs. Therefore, only one signature is ever needed per regular transaction, no matter how many sending addresses or inputs are included. CoinJoin transactions, of course, always include multiple sending addresses as well, at least one for each participant and possibly more. Schnorr signatures could therefore add a new benefit to using CoinJoin. They enable all participants not only to combine their transactions into one, but also to combine their signatures in that transaction into one. This would make the CoinJoin transaction smaller in size than the individual transactions combined would have been, which in turn means that miners should charge a smaller processing fee. With Schnorr, there would be a cost benefit to using the most private option, which might just provide the right incentive for wallets to implement it and make it the go-to option for everyone. In addition, Schnorr signature's mathematical properties will benefit a brand new class of more complex, smart contract-like solutions with names like scriptless scripts, taproot, and graphroot. Interestingly, these solutions would appear like regular Bitcoin transactions on the Bitcoin blockchain. This could, for example, enable futures markets, decentralized exchanges, or insurance contracts without spies being able to identify anything but regular-seeming transactions. ETA, optimistically, 2019. Stonewall. Another CoinJoin-related privacy measure was introduced by Samurai Wallet in May of 2018 as a replacement for a similar but inferior solution. Called Stonewall, the trick doesn't actually utilize CoinJoin, but makes it seem that it does. Stonewall transactions are, in effect, regular transactions. They send Bitcoin from one user to another. However, Stonewall transactions do something odd. They include an unnecessary number of sending addresses, or inputs, and change addresses, outputs. This makes the transaction look a lot like a CoinJoin transaction, a transaction where two people are combining their transactions into one, even though in reality it isn't. The idea behind Stonewall is to break, indeed, Stonewall, the assumptions that spies presumably make when analyzing the Bitcoin blockchain. If these spies can't tell for sure whether transactions are really CoinJoin transactions or not, any conclusions based on this transaction data is worthless. Samurai Wallet will soon also deploy two wallets Stonewall, which are real CoinJoin transactions shared between two users that trust one another with their privacy. ETA, available now. Two wallets Stonewall to follow in the next month or two. Dandelion. A very different method to de-anonymize Bitcoin users is through analysis of the peer-to-peer network. More specifically, spying nodes could monitor the Bitcoin network to try and find out where transactions originate. The first node to transmit a transaction is probably the one that created it. Dandelion is a solution proposed by a team of academic researchers from Carnegie Mellon University, the University of Illinois, and MIT. It was recently presented at the Building on Bitcoin conference in Lisbon by Carnegie Mellon University professor Julia Fonti. The solution counters network analysis by changing how transactions are spread over the peer-to-peer network. Instead of immediately broadcasting and forwarding a new transaction to as many peers as possible, the Dandelion protocol initially sends a new transaction to only one peer node. This node randomly decides whether it also forwards it to only one peer or not. If forwarded to only one peer, the next node will randomly decide what to do as well, and so forth. If not forwarded to only one peer, the node transitions to broadcasting the transaction to as many peers as possible, and all receiving peer nodes follow suit. This should make it significantly harder for spies to pinpoint where a transaction originated. A version of Dandelion has already been implemented by the research team, and the general proposal has received a positive response within Bitcoin's development community. As such, it seems likely to come included in an upcoming Bitcoin Core release, though the very next release, 0.17.0, will come too soon. ETA 2019. BIP 151 encryption. Another older proposal to limit network analysis is BIP 151, authored by Bitcoin Core maintainer and Shift developer Jonas Schnelli. BIP 151 is a somewhat straightforward solution. It would let Bitcoin nodes encrypt traffic, hence transaction and block data, between them. It should be noted, however, that in bare form, BIP 151 is no panacea for privacy. For one thing, the Bitcoin blockchain is public anyway, and more importantly, nodes could connect to and share data with the very same spies they would prefer to hide from. Still, BIP 151 could be a stepping stone to counter several types of attacks, including attacks on privacy, such as man-in-the-middle attacks. And even in bare form, the solution is arguably better than nothing. Specifically, particular use cases and scenarios would benefit from peer-to-peer encryption. For example, ISPs or open Wi-Fi networks would no longer be able to monitor Bitcoin traffic. While BIP 151 dropped off the radar a little bit for a year or two after it was first proposed, Schnelli recently picked up the project again and redrafted an official BIP to be discussed and potentially included in Bitcoin Core. ETA 2019. Compact client-side block filtering. To use Bitcoin without needing to download and verify the entire blockchain, many people use light clients, like mobile wallets. Unfortunately, almost all of these light clients have weak, if any, privacy protection. They typically share their addresses with either a central server or a random node on the network, both of which can be spies or be spied on. Many of the light clients that effectively share their addresses with a random node on the network use a trick called Simplified Payment Verification, or SPV. These SPV clients typically use, quote, Bloom filters to request the transactions potentially relevant for them, if there are any. While such a filter will return false positives, which means the SPV client will request more transactions than strictly needed, these are few compared to downloading all transactions. Unfortunately, SPV wallets do effectively reveal all their addresses to the nodes they request this data from as well. To tackle this problem, Lightning Labs developers Alaulua Asuntakin and Alex Axelrod, along with Coinbase developer Jim Posen, proposed a new solution called Compact Client-Side Block Filtering. Compact client-side block filtering was originally designed for Lightning Labs' Lightning-focused Neutrino wallet, but can be used by regular Bitcoin wallets as well. The Wasabi wallet already implemented the solution in its beta release. Compact client-side block filtering essentially inverts the trick that current SPV wallets use. Instead of SPV wallets requesting transactions relevant to them by creating and sending out a Bloom filter, full nodes create a similar filter. SPV wallets then use this filter to establish that relevant transactions did not happen. If the filter does produce a match, Neutrino fetches the relevant block to see if the match really concerns the exact transaction instead of a false positive. Since SPV wallets using compact client-side block filtering no longer request anything specific from any node, to instead receive a one-size-fits-all filter, they also reveal nothing about their transaction history. ETA, available now. Beta. Liquid and confidential transactions. Liquid is the first commercial sidechain developed by blockchain development company Blockstream. Its main purpose is to establish transaction channels between exchanges and other high-volume Bitcoin companies, like brokerages, allowing them to send Bitcoin and other assets between them much faster than the Bitcoin blockchain would allow. In the future, regular users, most obviously traders, should be able to access the sidechain too, with special Liquid wallets. One feature implemented on Liquid is confidential transactions, or CT. CT is a trick that blinds or hides the sending and receiving amounts in transactions. This is possible because clever cryptography allows math to be performed on the blinded amounts. All Liquid users can verify that the receiving amounts did not exceed the sending amounts. In other words, they can check that no Bitcoin was created out of thin air, even if they don't know exactly how much money changed hands. In the context of Liquid, this means, among other things, that exchanges can move funds between them without anyone being able to tell how much was moved. The process offers privacy, and competitors will, for example, be unable to tell how much money is held in the exchanges. Meanwhile, traders can no longer use such information to trade on, which is effectively a form of front-running possible today due to the public nature of Bitcoin's blockchain. As Liquid becomes available to regular traders later on, these users could most obviously utilize the protocol to keep their balances hidden from spies, even after withdrawing funds from an exchange to temporarily hold it on the sidechain or move it to a different exchange. In addition, CoinJoin types of solutions could be developed for Liquid wallets for a particularly powerful combination of privacy technologies. As several transactions are merged into one and amounts are hidden, establishing links between the addresses becomes virtually impossible. Even further out, CT may also be implemented on the main Bitcoin protocol. There are some ideas for how to accomplish this through a backward-compatible soft fork already, but while technological innovation is advancing, some upgrades would still come with significant detriment for scalability and are probably still far from being a reality. ETA, available for exchanges and other high-volume Bitcoin companies any day now, regular traders later, and mainnet users maybe one day. All right, and that will close the article by Aaron Von Wertheim on BitcoinMagazine.com. There are a ton of links available in this article. So if you want to dig into any more into these topics specifically, there are a ton of things to go through. And I definitely encourage you to do so. I know we've talked about a number of these things. We talked about Neutrino and compact client-side block filtering on the show. I wrote my article about Dandelion. We've read a number of things by Nopara on CoinJoin and TumbleBit, as well as a couple of articles on Schnorr signatures. So we have hit most of this stuff. I think the only thing in this that I did not know about was Stonewall by Samurai Wallet. I knew they were implementing the Zero Link protocol into their wallet, which is really, really awesome. That's super exciting for to be able to do that at the mobile level, because there's a lot of restrictions, data restrictions, and just the size of processors and stuff that make privacy on mobile extremely hard to work out. But that was a really interesting, like I said, I had no idea about Stonewall, which they use it to just mimic CoinJoin transactions and basically make the data useless, which I think that's a really cool way to implement privacy, just by faking privacy rather than actually mixing coins. So there's a lot of it's. I talk about this a lot in my article, actually, was that I think we're going to see, rather than just one privacy solution, we're going to see such a, this is like just in this article, there's still others out there, and this article hits like six or seven, I guess. But with all of these out there, Bitcoin could very well reach the privacy that a lot of people, and Satoshi himself, kind of saw Bitcoin being at the beginning, even though it was found that Bitcoin ended up being the opposite of private. It ended up being something where you can't change the history, and you have a never-ending history of all your connected transactions and addresses and signatures, which even with the pseudonymity of the Bitcoin blockchain and just the protocol in general, it turned out to be terrible for privacy. So It's really interesting to see how much, like, all of these things stacked together are going to produce a better privacy than even, you know, something like literally dedicated to privacy, even like Monero possibly, but still leave the option for complete openness and normal transactions out there. And I think that will really set to make Bitcoin deeply, deeply censorship resistant in every way by basically guaranteeing the fungibility of coins, both through widespread and lower cost privacy solutions. That's one of the most exciting things about CoinJoin and Schnorr together, is that it's the first time there's ever been an economic incentive. It's actually cheaper to gain privacy, which that has always been the problem with privacy and why it's never inherent in any of the systems and centralized infrastructure on the internet and stuff. Privacy has always been a very high cost item, so people will almost invariably prefer the low cost non-private solution. But when privacy becomes the more cost effective solution in Bitcoin, it will be really, really exciting to see those incentives flip on their head and privacy become the norm, not even because people necessarily care or realize how important it is, but because it costs them or it saves them money. And so that's just one of the major elements of these options all being implemented that has really changed my hope in seeing Bitcoin as a truly private, you know, a privacy coin, like the article suggests. That's because I've never seen any privacy option that made it easier or cheaper for the consumer, for the user. And all of these technologies together, plus the inevitable onslaught of new additions as these get tweaked and more vulnerabilities get exposed and they fill in basically the corners with all of this, really could make Bitcoin truly private and fungible, which will make it last indefinitely, in my opinion. And that's just really, really exciting stuff. I love talking about these privacy technologies and just the concept and philosophy of privacy in general, because you cannot make something truly safe if you cannot ensure privacy in some way. So I think that's a major vulnerability to Bitcoin right now, is that's its biggest threat to being a fungible, reliable monetary instrument, is the lack of fungibility that is currently possible on the network. That'll be all. I don't want to go in too far here with the commentary. I just thought that was a really good article. Be sure to explore all these individual concepts more. Like I said, we've done a number of things on Schnorr, Dandelion, Compact Block Filtering, so on and so forth. So check out those previous episodes. And of course, go to Bitcoin Magazine and click on those links. Again, some of these are already released, so you can try these out. Download the Stratus Breeze wallet, try out Tumblebit, download the Wasabi wallet by Nopara or Adam Fisker, and try that out. A lot of these are available today. So check out the Bitcoin Magazine article by Aaron Von Wertham to find those links to just click on all the CoinJoin, Wasabi wallet, all that good stuff. Tons to read, tons to explore. Check them out. All right. And also don't forget to follow Aaron Von Wertham and Bitcoin Magazine on Twitter. If you are not keeping up with Bitcoin Magazine, you're missing out. I read so many of their articles. It's ridiculous. I love them. They're a wonderful, wonderful resource for news and, just basic technical explanations. They've got other podcasts that they can link to, and they've got explanations. They've got like guides and stuff for a lot of the, just explaining Bitcoin, blockchain, all kinds of stuff. There's a lot on their website that I think just kind of gets missed by people. So check out the website, follow Aaron Von Wertham, one of the best journalists in the space, on Twitter. I will tag both of them in the post, and that will close us out for the day. Don't forget to follow me at The Crypto Economy on Mastodon as well as Twitter. For Mastodon, it's the bitcoinhackers.org instance, but you can just get the link out of my Twitter profile if you check me out up there. Check out the website. Like I said, it's still a work in progress, but it is live. I got my first comment the other day. So that is cryptoeconomy.life. Let me know what you think about that. Leave a comment on a post. Leave me some feedback on this episode when it gets posted. Also, don't forget to follow me on Medium. And if you would like to support the show, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so you don't miss the new stuff we got coming out. I've got a really fun interview for tomorrow. I think you guys are really going to like it. Also, share the podcast with everybody you know in the crypto space so they can learn about Bitcoin and crypto from every different avenue possible and get all the best Bitcoin content that is out there in writing straight to their ears in podcast form. Okay. Also, I will have my Bitcoin donation address if you would like to donate. That is a huge, huge, huge help. This thing survives off those donations, and it keeps my coffee cup full. So thank you so much for that. And, of course, you can use my affiliate link for Trezor. If you're getting your hardware wallet, if you don't have one, you got to get one. Don't be a fool and keep your Bitcoin on anything other than a secure hardware wallet. Use my affiliate link. Won't cost you a dime, and you'll send a couple of bucks my way to help out the show. All right. This has been the Crypto Economy Podcast, and I will catch you all tomorrow. Take it easy, guys.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.